Broadcasting live from the Business Radio X studios in Atlanta, Georgia, it's time for the Buckhead Business Radio Show.
You are listening to Business Radio X of Buckhead. Ladies and gentlemen, we present for your delight today a Pilot House production of the SME Showcase of Atlanta show, where we make thought leaders visible. In the hosted talk radio tradition, starring your host, Rio Orvec, with headline speaker, Robert Ballantyne, and guest speakers, Jim Cook and Brad Stonecipher. Please queue up our speakers' documents at pilothouseadvisors.com and click on the SME Papers and select the episode Financial Capital Markets Show, October 2014. Listeners, before leaving our show, please vote for your favorite SME speaker today on the SME Awards tab on the website. Let me now introduce the host of our show, Rio Orvec.
Good day, everyone. This is the SME Showcase of Atlanta show Financial Capital Markets episode, and I'm your host, Rio Orvec. We have in the studio today top thought leaders from the financial capital markets area. Our headliner is Robert Ballantyne from Ballantyne. Welcome, Robert.
Good morning, Rio.
And also Jim Cook from National Financial Services Group. Thank you for joining us, Jim.
It's a pleasure, Rio.
And we are also proud to present Brad Stonecipher from Peachtree Planning. Welcome, Brad.
Glad to be here.
And thank you all for joining us today. We're covering a topic today that is key and critical to our listening audience, covering innovation and change in financial markets. I would like to introduce our headline speaker today, Robert Ballantyne from Ballantyne.
Robert Ballantyne is Chairman and Chief Executive Officer of Ballantyne, the Atlanta-based independent investment advisory firm. In 1987, Robert founded Ballantyne and Company, which grew to become the largest independent advisory firm in the South. In 2002, the firm was acquired by a large public company where Robert became CEO of their investment management business, managing more than $36 billion in assets. 5 years ago, he and his partners became entrepreneurs once again and created Ballantyne as an independent firm. Since its founding in December 2009, Ballantyne has grown to nearly $2 billion in assets, employing 25 people in two offices, and has been named one of the top 50 fastest-growing RIAs by Forbes and a best place to work in money management by Pensions and Investments. In addition, the Metro Atlanta Chamber awarded Robert with the Entrepreneur of the Year Lifetime Achievement Award in 2013. In August of this year, Robert was named one of the nation's top 100 independent financial advisors by Barron's. Ballantyne's headquarters are located at 3344 Peachtree Road, Suite 2200, Atlanta, Georgia, 30326, 404-537-4800.
And today's topic centers around innovation and change in financial markets. Robert, you're the headliner, and the theme you've created today is the more things change, the more they stay the same. So your first question is, as your bio suggests, you have been an innovator in the industry for 35 years and at the forefront of change. What are some of the changes you've seen during the past three decades, and what has the impact been on investors?
Rio, there have been innumerable changes. I think the first thing that comes to mind is the plethora of financial products that have been introduced. When I started in the business, a diversified portfolio consisted of the Dow 30 and a laddered bond or municipal bond portfolio. And today, investors can invest in energy futures, derivatives, commodities, international equities, alternative investments like hedge funds and private equity. There's been an amazing number of financial products that have been securitized that are all competing for investors' money. The second thing that I've witnessed is the 24/7 news cycle and the globalization of markets. We see Jim Cramer ranting and raving on CNBC. We see stock quotes in the elevator. And we live in an information society, but information is not knowledge, and knowledge is not wisdom. So with the onslaught of financial products and the amount of information out there, I'm not quite sure investors are making any better investment decisions than they did when I started 35 years ago. We've also seen a movement away from selling products to selling advice. In the 40s and 50s, stockbrokers were known as customers' men. And these were people who were to give the client the very best of their advice without conflict. Regrettably, I think our industry has confused the economics of the business with the values of the profession, and we've seen a large movement away from commission-based compensation to fee-based advice. Those are just a few of the things that I've witnessed in the last 35 years.
Well, thank you, Robert. You've certainly seen a lot of change, but what has stayed the same?
Well, the main thing that stayed the same, I think, is human behavior. We seem to vacillate between fear and greed and between hope and fear. It was Mr. Buffett, I believe, who said we must remain fearful when others are greedy and greedy when others are fearful. And yet, we all think we're smarter than the average bear. It's interesting to me that 80% of the fees paid to people who manage money don't produce better results than one could do in an index fund. And what we've seen is the continued cycle of hope as a strategy. I think it was Thomas Carlyle who said hope was a wonderful traveling companion, but a poor roadmap. Investors, on the other hand, think and hope that they can do better than markets. And regrettably, rather than what we learned in Econ 101, which was to buy low and sell high, investors tend to come into markets right at the peak when things are rosy and feel fear and despondency as we saw in March of 09 when things were on sale. We were talking before the show about the opportunity in March of 09 to buy Ford Motor Company and GM and General Electric and some of America's best businesses. But as far as I'm concerned, ours is the only industry where when you run a sale, nobody wants to buy anything.
Yeah, so that definitely the nation is now in recovery from a recent recession. How is that affecting the short investor's memory, and what are the implications of that?
Well, we're all affected by recency bias, things that recently happened that determine our future behavior. And I think we've seen in the minds of investors, particularly from a psychological impact, the idea that I can't get any return off of my savings, and therefore I'm going to take risk and yield-oriented investments in order to try to replace that. 30 years ago, if you had $1 million invested in a 10-year treasury bond, you could expect to take home around $120,000 worth of income. Today, if you had $1 million in a 10-year treasury bond, the income you're going to get is just over $22,000. And frankly, after today's slide, likely to potentially pierce the 2% level. In effect, what that means is investors today have got to have at least six times more money to generate the same income than they did 30 years ago. And so we've reached for yield and different types of yield-oriented investments. And typically, the way that ends is badly. I think the other thing that we've seen in the last, well, in terms of recent markets, is the S&P is up roughly three times since the Great Recession in 2009 with very little volatility. And in effect, the world's central banks are creating financial repression. They've engineered interest rates down below the rate of inflation in order to try to convince investors to take risk. And ultimately, asset prices have to reflect earnings. And I think we could all argue that markets are somewhat out over their skis, particularly as we've seen volatility in recent days. So here's the question for the listeners, Rio. How am I going to meet my investment objectives with a portfolio traditionally allocated 40% to bonds when bonds today are yielding 2 to 3% and 60% to equities when, from all intents and purposes, we would indicate stocks should probably return 6 to 7% over the next 7 years? How can a portfolio constructed 60% stocks and 40% bonds allow me to spend 4 or 5% of my corpus and still reinvest to take care of the effects of inflation? That's the challenge before us.
Well, thank you for that, Robert. And how has your firm differentiated itself as an innovative firm in this industry?
Well, first of all, as an SEC-regulated advisor, we're held to a fiduciary standard of care. It's not simply a moral imperative. We are required to put the needs of our clients ahead of our own. And this is very different from a suitability standard in which you only have to do what's suitable, maybe not necessarily what's best for your clients. When I started off in this industry 35 years ago with a large retail brokerage, I quickly learned that my primary job was to protect my client from the predatory instincts of my employer. And I think today people are looking for trust, but they also want to verify trust in a business model. Our industry has confused investors with hidden fees, with charges, with different ways to extract nickels and dimes, which add up. And it's important for investors to understand that really there are only three things that we can control. We can control the fees we pay for investment advice. We can control the volatility that we're willing to accept. And we can control how much we contribute or how much we withdraw from the portfolio. So we've built the kind of firm that, frankly, we would hire to manage our own capital, which to me means no conflict of interest, no proprietary product, and no broker-dealer. Our only revenue is the fees the clients pay us for advice, so we're not incentivized by the advice that we give clients. And I think the second thing is more of a philosophical approach. We don't view our goal is to beat the market. I've never met an investor when markets were down 20% and their portfolio was down 18% that felt good because they had, quote, beat the market. I think what's far more important is for investors to understand what are their goals, what are their objectives, and am I on track to meet my plan? Am I going to be able to educate my grandchildren? Am I going to be able to fund the organizations I care about? Am I going to be able to live comfortably during my golden years?
Well, thank you, Robert. It's great to get your perspective on that. And now we break for an announcement from one of Atlanta's finest associations, the Association of Strategic Planners. And when we return, we will hear from our guest speaker, Jim Cook from National Financial.
The Atlanta chapter of the Association of Strategic Planning is a community of strategic thinkers dedicated to building individual and organizational effectiveness through planning and execution. Our community includes representatives from most of the top Atlanta area businesses and include a variety of industries. Members learn from and network with some of the best and brightest strategic leaders in the Southeast. Our programs are held in the morning on the second Friday of each month. We alternate between speakers, presentations, and interactive roundtable discussions with practical exercises covering a variety of strategic-related topics. Networking opportunities with the speakers and other attendees are included in all of our meetings. Opportunities for further involvement through participation on specific committees and board membership provide further opportunities for learning and networking. The Atlanta chapter of ASP has started its own group on LinkedIn, Association for Strategic Planning /Atlanta, to share strategic insights and information as well as additional information about our upcoming events. Please visit and join us on LinkedIn. Please visit our website at www.strategyplus.org/chapters/Atlanta.php for more information. Mention this announcement when registering or arriving at Atlanta Chapter's upcoming meeting and receive a free, no-cost door pass compliments of Pilot House Advisors.
Welcome back, Atlanta. You are listening to the SME Showcase Show, Financial Capital Markets episode, where our next speaker is the esteemed Jim Cook from National Financial Group.
Jim Cook is a registered representative and investment advisor representative of Equity Services Incorporated. Securities and investment advisory services are offered solely through registered representatives and investment advisor representatives of Equity Services Incorporated, member of FINRA and SIPC, 1050 Crown Point Parkway, Suite 1700, Atlanta, Georgia, 30338, 770-512-5100. Equity Services Incorporated is a broker-dealer and registered investment advisor affiliate of National Life Insurance Company, Montpelier, Vermont. National Financial Services Group and all other entities are independent of Equity Services Incorporated.
Well, good morning, Jim. Tell us what you do at National Financial Services Group, if you would.
Well, we're a comprehensive financial services firm that coordinates all areas of our clients' financial needs, including retirement planning, investments, saving for college, as well as implementing strategies to protect assets they already have. That includes risk management, life insurance, disability, health. We don't sell property and casualty insurance, but we still will take a look at it to make sure they have the proper type of coverage. We've been in Atlanta since 1896 in some type of affiliation. National Life Insurance opened a life insurance agency here in 1896. And so we've got a long history, and we have over 100 financial advisors and professionals.
Well, what are the three biggest challenges, Jim, in the financial services industry over the past 10 years?
That's a good question. Number one, financial services industry has become commoditized with providers trying to provide all things to all people. And you can actually go into a super Walmart. I saw a company selling life insurance inside of a Walmart. So with that, these really muddy the waters for consumers. And as it was said earlier, information is not knowledge. And that has really muddied the waters in our industry. Number two, the regulatory environment has really changed and really got more difficult for us. And that's a good thing. We see that as a good thing for the consumers. And then number three, information via internet is more readily available, which is a double-edged sword. And then when you have social media involved in our industry, we're one of the most regulated industries there are, that consumers are aware of all this and have become more sensitive. But again, they don't have the knowledge to execute the things that they need to have done.
Yes, well, that's a very interesting perspective. And how has your firm positioned itself to adapt to these changes, Jim?
Well, we work under a team approach model. We feel that no one can be an expert in all areas. And so we have associates who work together, specialize in various areas of the financial services. Their designations include CFPs, CHFCs, JDs, and CPAs, who bring their combined expertise together to come up with financial strategies to address our clients' unique situations. We're increasing oversight and education on our associates so that our clients continue to take care of the way they should be taken care of, and this allows us to meet or exceed the goals of the regulators. Lastly, we have a renewed focus on financial education. The key for a successful long-term relationship in our industry is an educated client who's in a position to make more informed choices. We also upgrade our technology, which includes a new website offering wealth of resources on a wide range of topics that consumers can tap into the information anytime they want.
Yeah, so that's a lot of information there. And what advice would you give to our listeners, Jim, in planning their futures?
Well, for the younger people, it's pretty simple. You live on less and you save more. When the 401k came out, I don't think people were as educated in the 70s as they should have been of how much money they needed to put away. And then as taxes continue to grow, the tax implication to affect distribution in retirement is going to have an enormous effect on retirees.
So from a jobs perspective, do you see this sector growing or shrinking in the next 10 years, Jim?
Well, definitely growing. It's really a great time to consider a career in our industry. During the recession, two things happened. First, a significant number of financial service professionals left the industry. We consider that a good thing, since many of those who dropped out are what we call transactional. In other words, they were product-oriented and often only sold a single product instead of using a process approach in which the client's entire financial situation is addressed. Secondly, many of our clients who were formerly do-it-yourselfers realized that it may be impossible to know everything you need to know to manage your finances effectively, and they began to recognize the value of working with a financial professional. So recent studies shown by LIMRA, which is Life Insurance Market Research Association, show that an aging group of advisors nearing retirement, which is the three of us in this room, are looking to retire, and there are a massive number of baby boomers, about 10,000 every day turning 65, who will be retiring over the next decade, along with what we call the largest transfer of wealth in our history.
Yes, and who should consider a career in the financial industry, Jim?
Well, we look for four-year college degree, first of all. Our associates come from diverse backgrounds with varying college degrees. A common misconception is that we're only looking for finance majors. Some of our most successful associates have had successful sales backgrounds. We can teach a salesperson the financial side of the business if they have the aptitude to learn. We also look for candidates with an innate need to help people. The financial services industry is what we call a contact sport. We're in the people business, and successful advisors have built a tremendous network and are naturals at developing relationships. And our whole goal is when we bring someone in, a prospective client, is we want to become their trusted financial advisor. So I like to say that when we get in the elevator with someone, by the time we get off, they not only know the person's name, but they do what they do, where they work, and how many children they have. And finally, we need to be self-starters with good time management skills and money-motivated mentality. They set their own schedule, so that internal drive is so critical. We tell candidates that this is about working hard to build your own practice and build your own business with our support and our resources. The industry offers an unlimited earning potential, so we're looking for driven individuals that see value in that. The idea is that we are in business for themselves, but not by themselves.
Well, we appreciate that perspective, Jim. Before our next speaker, Brad Stonecipher from Peachtree Planning, we will take a short break to hear an association announcement from the IARCP.
Stay current. Make informed decisions by joining the International Association of Risk and Compliance Professionals, IARCP. As the global marketplace intensifies to be a more competitive environment, specialized knowledge is a matter of survival. And developing a personal competitive advantage, your brand, is crucial. Also, online reputation management has become a very important aspect. Establish yourself as an expert in the area of risk and compliance through a lifetime membership in IARCP, which includes impression management, online identity, and reputation management. The IARCP offers both certified risk and compliance professional training, as well as certified information systems risk and compliance professional training. The International Association of Risk and Compliance Professionals offers lifetime memberships, premium memberships, a free standard membership, which includes an email newsletter. Join the IARCP. It's free and only takes a few minutes. You can find them at www.risk/compliance/association.com or simply Google International Risk and Compliance.
You're listening to the SME Showcase of Atlanta, making thought leaders visible. And in the hosted talk radio tradition, the Financial Capital Markets episode, we are speaking to Brad Stonecipher from Peachtree Planning.
Brad Stonecipher has over 25 years' experience in the financial services industry. He was previously employed with Trust Company Bank, Merrill Lynch, and Robinson Humphrey before joining Peachtree Planning in 1995. Brad currently oversees Peachtree Planning's investment department, which includes operations, compliance, and investment product sales. He is responsible for over 90 registered representatives who currently manage over $2.6 billion of their clients' assets. Brad is the recipient of several professional organizational awards. He has served as a member of the Field Advisory Board for Park Avenue Securities, PAS, and for Guardian Insurance and Annuity Company. He helped develop and implement the PAS Investment Specialist Training Program, a program that has trained over 200 investment specialists throughout the country. He graduated with a BBA from the University of Kentucky. He is a member of the IAFP, International Association of Financial Planners, a member of the Atlanta chapter of the ALU, Association of Life Underwriters, and a member of Gamma International, the General Agents and Managers Association. Brad lives in Buckhead with his wife, Iris, and their son, Nick, and daughter, Haley. They are members of Peachtree Presbyterian Church. His office is located at 5040 Roswell Road, Atlanta, Georgia, 30342. The phone number is 404-260-1000. 1608, and the fax number is 404-260-1708. His email address is brad.stonecipher@peachtreeplanning.com.
Brad, there's a topic here today on the table, change management and innovation in the financial sector. So what is on the forefront of our minds are there continue to be many new regulatory incentives. Discuss, please, how they will affect the industry.
Well, it was interesting listening to Jim. He mentioned the amount of people that left the industry after the financial crisis of 2008. The one area that's had a boom has been on the compliance side, as most of the firms have more than doubled their compliance. A lot of that has to do with what's going on in Washington. There's going to be a new the Dodd-Frank legislation has created a number of new regulations, including an Office of Consumer Affairs. A lot of it goes back to the fact that reps out there continue to wear two hats. They operate as a registered representative, where they operate under a suitability standard, as discussed previously. And then they also operate as advisor representatives, where they operate as under a rule of doing what is prudent for the client from an advice standpoint. So you're going to see in the coming years a move towards combining that standard into a new standard of suitability, and I think it's going to affect how all of us do business.
Yes, thank you for that. And the automated financial tools, if you could speak for a moment, Brad, about the needed now generation and discuss some options and benefits to that.
Well, I'm old enough to have started in this business when we had Quotron machines and vacuum tubes, and we diligently waited for our research reports to come to us from Merrill's research department. Now you can get all the information you'd need to be a day trader on your phone or maybe even on your watch if you've got the new Apple Watch. But what it's created is, in our industry, is a mass move to create tools that the average investor probably shouldn't use, and a lot of them don't. There's a report out from Fidelity's marketing recently that showed the need it now generation, the new millennials, are really not using these tools. While they want to be involved with their portfolios and they want to understand what's going on with their portfolios, they don't necessarily want to do it themselves. So I think what we're seeing in tools, certainly with our firm, we use a tool called the Living Balance Sheet. It is a tool to let your clients understand exactly what's going on. They want to be able to look on their phone and see what their account's doing today. But they don't necessarily want to be in there, you know, hammering the hammer and drilling. They want somebody to be doing that work side by side with them.
That's very interesting. And social media apps come to mind, Brad, for clients, quicker feedback from advisors to clients. Can you expand upon that social media?
This kind of goes back to that compliance question as well. It's the brokerage firms have a tremendous problem with social media because we've built oversight systems to monitor the usage of landline phones, and none of our clients are communicating that way. In fact, you're now seeing reps move from firm to firm because of what their social media policy is. We're in our own firm, we have the ability to utilize Facebook. We have an overlay on that system that turns off some of the things you can do with Facebook, because as a rep, you can't be making recommendations to people out there over the air that you don't know. So I think you're going to see more and more tools out there that are going to get more and more of these services in the hands of reps. And it's a question of how are your clients communicating and how do they want you to communicate with them. It's, the single fastest changing thing, I think, in our industry right now is how are we going to utilize these tools of Facebook and Twitter and Instagram and do it in a way where we're not influencing how someone buys one of our products?
Mm-hmm. Well, what advice do you have for clients in these turbulent market times like we are seeing recently?
Well, probably a bad thing to say on the radio or television, but turn off your radio and turn off your television. It's one of the problems I think that most clients have, and like most of us have, is that we are bombarded by a media and a culture that causes us to be bad investors. And what we try to do in our firm is make sure that we don't have a portfolio that doesn't have a plan. You know, clients ask the wrong question. They ask, are you going to beat the S&P 500? Are you going to make 8%? They don't ask, am I going to have enough money for retirement? Am I going to have enough money to send my child? So if your plan hasn't changed, your portfolio shouldn't change.
Mm-hmm. Well, Brad, that was very thought-provoking, and thank you very much. And coming up next, an announcement from the International Association, ISMEA, and wrap up with all our guests, SMEs, on the Financial Capital Markets episode of the SME Showcase of Atlanta show.
The International Subject Matter Expert Association, ISMEA, is like an Angie's List for SMEs. The organization was compiled for companies that are looking for contractor on file, vendors for short-term assignments, or an expert that has been vetted or recommended to a high standard of quality and delivery. Subject matter experts from all around the globe can register for a free membership, which include a certification of membership, confidential profile on record, and a quarterly newsletter. A certification of validation service is available, which is a stamp of approval for client companies looking for solid, reliable experts and vendors. The organization is perfect for independent contractors, subject matter experts starting up, existing ones with open bench time, or those looking for new client introductions. Subject matter experts enhance your reputation or validate your service history by joining now. Membership is free and confidential for members and client companies. Join the ISMEA. It only takes a few minutes. Click on the ISMEA tab on pilothouseadvisors.com or call 1-800-683-5022. The International Subject Matter Expert Association, ISMEA, is an international community organization, all profits used for charities. This has been a community service announcement by Pilot House Production.
We're back in the studio for a wrap-up segment with the SME Showcase of Atlanta, Financial Capital Markets episode. Along the topic of innovation and change in financial markets, we will go around the table of our distinguished subject matter experts for a short summary of their points of discussion. We'll start with you, Robert Ballantyne from Ballantyne. In a few words, please highlight your thoughts, please.
I think the first thing, Rio, is for investors to focus on the things they can control. There's a lot of financial noise today, and it seems to be increasing at a frequency and a rate that, frankly, is providing lots of information, but not a lot of insight and not a lot of wisdom. What we can control are the fees that we pay for investment advice, and that to me means if you have highly efficient markets, such as U.S. large cap stocks or international stocks, if you can access an index for 10 or 20 basis points rather than paying an active manager fee, 80 to 100 basis points, that's something you can control. The second thing is the amount of volatility. Understand your risk budget. How many assets do I need in my safe bucket? How many am I willing to commit to a long-term investment program? And realize that investing is not a 100-yard dash. It's a marathon. And our focus and our goal should not try to beat an index or a market, but to meet our client's investment objective. I think it's important to focus on understanding liquidity, where everyone was caught short in the financial recession in 08 and 09 was the lack of capital to be able to take advantage of opportunities. So understanding how one's balance sheet is allocated between safe assets, risk assets, and invest in things for the long haul that you understand. Our industry is famous for packaging all types of esoteric products, layered with fees and complexity and illiquidity, when in fact most investors can peel that back, demystify it, and access similar strategies at a lower cost fee.
Well, thank you, Robert. And now we'll hear from Jim Cook from National Financial Services. Your thoughts for our listeners, Jim.
Well, I think that if you enjoy helping people and if you have an innate need, if your primary innate need is to help people and serve others, this is a great business to be into, because one of three things is going to happen to everybody. Either we live too long, we die too soon, or we become ill. And those are things that are going to happen in our lives, but it's a great opportunity to work with people, because once you get them to financial independence, what is that worth when someone knows that they can live for the rest of their life the way they want to in their dignity and not have the fear of running out money? So it's a huge opportunity. And I think if that's something that you'd like to do, you really need to entertain the thought of getting into this industry.
Well, thank you, Jim. And Brad Stonecipher from Peachtree Planning, your final summary points, please, Brad.
Well, I think as fast as our industry is changing, and it's changing as fast as technology is changing, the one thing that doesn't change is it really comes down to two people looking in each other's eyes and helping make a decision, regardless of whether they've got Twitter or any of the other things in between them. And those decisions need to be made about what's important to that client, what goal is he trying to achieve, and making sure that you're not jumping in and out of the market based on anything other than what's going on in your own life and with your own plan.
We appreciate that, Brad, and thank you. Gentlemen, all your thought-provoking points are greatly appreciated today. It's been great to have you in the studio today. And that brings us to our close on the topic of innovation and change in financial markets, with stimulating and illuminating discussion points presented by our thought leaders. Headliner, Robert Ballantyne from Ballantyne. And thank you, Robert.
My pleasure.
And our guest speaker, Jim Cook from National Financial Services.
Thank you very much.
And a pleasure to have you in the studio, Jim. And our guest speaker, Brad Stonecipher from Peachtree Planning. We appreciate your contribution today, Brad.
It was great to be here. Thank you.
Thank you also to the support staff in our SME speakers organizations, which help make this possible. There is an honorable mention going out today to author Satu Baskaran for his SME paper contribution entitled Secure E-Transactions. Thank you all for making this show possible. And listeners, please vote for your favorite speaker, show, and author on the Show tab, SME Awards, on the SME Showcase website at www.pilothouseadvisors.com. And listeners, don't forget, mention this ad when you're registering or arriving at the upcoming Atlanta chapter meeting of the Association of Strategic Planners, and receive a no-cost door pass, compliments of Pilot House Productions. It has been my honor and privilege to host today's show, and would like to leave you with a thought. It is not the problem that's the problem. It's your attitude about the problem. This has been a SME Showcase of Atlanta, making thoughts leader visible, and I am your host, Rio Orvec. Good day.
We hope you have enjoyed today's program. Join us in our next Financial Capital Markets show on January 28, 2015, covering the issues around changing markets. Also, stay tuned for our upcoming January 21st SME Showcase, presenting the Risk, Compliance, and Governance show. And please earmark January 7, 2015 on your calendar to hear leading-edge ideas from Atlanta's top subject matter experts in our show dedicated to human resources, briefing us on volatility and new ideas in human resources. Finally, to round out January's programs, enjoy the CFO Roundtable series discussion on The Rise of the Fall, Accounting's Newest Enemy, on January 28th from executive producer Heather Thompson. For a full month's upcoming show announcements and requests for listeners' auto notification, please go to the website www.pilothouseadvisors.com and select the Show Schedule tab.
We would like to thank our dedicated production staff, executive producer Heather Thompson, executive producer and host Rio Orvec, co-producer Natel Waddell, technical editor Robert Grant, managing editor Gretchen Eiler, announcers Heather Thompson and Robert Grant, directors Richard Casanova, and all of our friends at Business Radio X Buckethead Studios.
Today's show was brought to you by Pilot House Advisors, piloting their organization to your vision by transforming, optimizing, and executing. This is a Pilot House production, all rights reserved.